is a tear of the ACL and MCL, but it is viewed as a 9-month recovery, which that, of course, would, you know, put him in line to return next year, and as long as, you know, depending on rehab. And by the way, these things, there's no certainty on rehab, right? Sometimes guys take this short amount of time. Some guys take a long amount of time. I remember Adrian Peterson, running back, had an ACL tear, and he returned 7 months later and was setting records in the NFL. And I think people viewed that as, that's how long ACLs take. No, that's the exception. Usually,
it's Adrian Peterson's a machine.
He is a machine. He is a once in a billion kind of athlete in person. So, you know, there's no certainty. I've seen guys take over a year to recover, but hopefully 9 months, Joe Burrow is back to where we want him to be.
Let's get an expert opinion in the matter. Dr. Peter Cha, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Doc, you heard what we were talking about there, and I know, you know, every case is different, but in your opinion, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think you're going to see that the average is around 9 months from a ACL reconstruction to get back to the NFL. The variability, as it was recently, it's come out that it's both the ACL and the MCL and some other unspecified injuries. It may be more time if it's a combined ligament reconstruction. But I think the take-home is you have to really see the recovery and what they're doing as far as their milestones to make sure he's 100% prior to getting back on that field.
Doc, here's my question is, and we don't know when Joe Burrow is going to have surgery, but my question is this. What determines whether an athlete has surgery right away or sometimes you see they wait a couple months?
You know, a lot of that really depends on what his knee looks like in the ensuing days after the injury. If the swelling and all the edema has calmed down enough, you could certainly do an instant surgery. So there's a couple of variabilities, but really it is his response to the injury.
So how will they determine? Obviously, it's just a wait and see, huh?
Yeah, you got to see what his leg looks like, how swollen his calf gets, how swollen his knee is. You know, and if he has a non-reactive knee, then you could certainly go forward with an immediate surgery.
Doc, tell us what has happened in the last, even, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, in terms of rehab that has allowed injuries like this to recover faster. I mean, I when I played, injuries, you know, ACL was kind of around that same sort of time frame, but I feel like it's, you know, becoming more and more condensed. What's more recently that has come out that's allowed some athletes in any injury to recover faster?
You know, we have a lot of the metrics as far as to follow where they are. I mean, we know their muscular strength, their reaction time, what it looks like when they land, and just specific strength ergonometric tests that we could put them through. So a lot of the technology has really been refined. So the decision of getting him back to play or not is usually non-controversial. If he achieves all the milestones and he feels good, he's ready to go.
So what you're saying is there's kind of a checklist of, okay, this amount of impact, this amount of muscle gain, blah, 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 and then just kind of an algorithm, and you hit the button, and it says, yes, he's ready, or yes, he's not, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is some objective parameters to help guide us relative to how he feels and also his confidence level.
Yeah.
So we certainly add in the objective measures to help with that decision-making process.
And this is up to the individual, too, as far as rehab goes, too. I mean, if this kid seems like he's really going to go after it. I mean, that's going to play a lot into it as well, huh?
Yeah, no question. You have a professional athlete who's motivated and he's a physical specimen like he is. I mean, there's no question he's going to achieve, you know, the highest level of rehab. I mean, I would, you know, he is similar to what you guys described with Adrian Peterson as far as I'm concerned.
Doc, in your opinion, and this is my last question, what is when guys don't recover from an ACL injury, what's usually the reason? Is there something that happens along the way in most cases, or what is it?
No, so I think it's the severity of the injury. And, you know, if it's a simple ACL, you know, that we could get them back on the field as quickly as 6 months. But if you have combined injuries, which apparently he has with the MCL, you know, there may be, a fracture associated with that mini dislocation. You know, there could be some neurovascular structure injuries as well. So it's really the severity of the injury what determines, you know, how fast he can get back.
All right, Dr. Peter Cha, we really appreciate you talking to us.
No, my pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Doc.
Yeah.
So, I didn't see the hit. I happened to walk out of the room, and I come back, and I see him laying on the ground.
Yeah, well, you're lucky because
I heard it was brutal.
Well, it was. Well, and, you know, so I was – I feel like this is one of those, like, do you remember where you were moments, right? Like, I will remember where I was when Joe Burrow got hurt. I was sitting down there. I was watching the game, and I just – you know, I was on my note paper, and I made, like, a little note about the Bengals defense, and I look up, and then, you know, the pass is incomplete, and then you look down, and there's, and you're like, oh, my God. And my wife is standing there. Who, again, doesn't watch a ton of football, but she goes, what happened? Are they going to show what happened? I go, honey, being in the business of broadcasting, I can tell you right now, the fact that they're not showing it means that it was very, very bad.
That's the thing. I walk back into the room, and they're saying, we're not going to show it.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, then right after I told her that, the commentary folks said that because, yeah, when I do a game, we see an injury, and the producer's in my ISO monitor, so it's not on air. It's in an off-air monitor. And they'll kind of rewind a little bit, and then, you know, kind of collectively we all go, you know, let's not show that. That's not good for the viewer, and that's unfortunately what happened here. I am, and again, we don't know all the details, but I am happy. I was fearing there was compound fractures involved. There was, I mean, because his whole, you know, weight of that 300-pound man who was fighting to the quarterback landed on his planted leg like that. So it doesn't appear that that's the case, and hopefully not, because, man, if it's an ACL, MCL, and in a projected 9-month recovery, all things considered, that's a win.
Your thoughts on it? No, we'll want to take your take. 749-7000, 800, the big one, #700 on AT&T.
I will say this. I think it's... There was always a feeling in the back of my head, and I think a lot of fans of saying, of you thought this was going to happen at some point.
Honest to God, thought that.
Whenever you ask a rookie with no offseason, no, you know, training, you know, all that sort of thing, to do what he was doing, which is carry the entire offense on his back, right, to do everything in spite of a bad offensive line, in spite of missing Joe Mixon, in spite of all the other deficiencies this roster had, you're asking your rookie quarterback to throw for a record amount of times, get hit a record amount of times for a rookie, and you think he was going to get through the whole season without an injury? No. It was, in a way, you're like, this is what we kind of unfortunately expected. I think it's unfair. I don't think the Bengals did a good enough job of protecting their investment. And look, even if it wasn't building the offensive line, obviously they missed on that, but from a play calling structure, why you're asking, is there not things you can invent as a play caller, Zach Taylor, where you can, you know, meander around the fact that your offensive line isn't great and set Joe Burrow up for some success, both from a production standpoint and from a not get hurt standpoint, but that did not happen.
Your thoughts, 749-7000, 800 the big one, #700 on AT&T. But now traffic. Rob, what's up?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, home to the nationally recognized Pancreatic Cancer Center, our care plans are backed by scientific research and physician expertise. Call 513-584-8900 to schedule an appointment. The latest accident is on Pippin Road north of Compton. While police continue to investigate an accident on West Wyoming Avenue at Shepherd Avenue, in that investigation, a vehicle hit a utility pole, wires are down, and they ask you to continue to avoid the area. You're heavy on westbound 275 now between Turkey Foot and 75. Eastbound heavy, Taylor Mill over to 471. Northbound 75 heavy approaching Dixie Highway Florence up to Donaldson, where you're down to two lanes in the construction. Then you're slow in the single lane stretch between Kyle's Lane and 5th Street in Covington. Expect delays if you're using the Clayway-Bailey Bridge on both sides of the river. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from a 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Partly cloudy, 32 for tomorrow. Cloudy and 50. It is 48 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
Mike McConnell here. Before you get into your jammies, think about this.
According to a recent poll, men who drool in their sleep have higher IQs than non-droolers.
Longest, Chris wanted to get you on. What do you have?
So, you know, with the vid rising, this is specialty surgery. What if they push it back?
I somehow believe, Chris, that Dr. Andrews down in Alabama will find a way. They will get Joe Burrow in.
You think? Yeah.
He will be afforded some benefits that the us normal schleps don't get.
I don't think that's right as a normal schlep. I think he should go through this. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
Chris, people will track you down and they will hurt you. Thanks, buddy.
I think people would put off the surgery of their own. Yeah. I think
they shouldn't hurt me. They should hurt Mike Brown for not getting new protection. Yeah.
Well, there's that, too. Thanks, Chris.
I think people would put off their own surgery in Cincinnati right now just so Burrow can get their surgery earlier. People are mad about this injury because they love him. They love Joe Burrow.
Billy and Muncy, what do you have?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Well, I sat there and watched that, and I thought I was trying to get on with Willie earlier. And he went all the way through college and didn't get hurt with a college offensive line, but yet he comes out and plays for the Bengals, and he gets his knee tore all to pieces. He's been Bengalized, just like Willie says, like if somebody comes here. But how did they know for 2 years they were going to draft this kid, but they can't put a line around him to cover their money? I don't get it. It's just like a high school senior could figure that out, and a business kid could figure that out.
Billy, I agree, and it's doubly bad because it's not like the Bengals didn't try. They drafted Cedric Oboye and Jake Fisher back in, what was that, 2014. They drafted Billy Price in 2018, right, first overall pick, and they drafted Jonah Williams. So they've Jonah Williams, I think, has done okay, but outside of that, they've tried to address it but missed and also haven't developed anybody. That's what makes it doubly bad.
Greg and Florence, your thoughts.
Hey, Rocky, just a real quick question. Thanks, Eddie, too, as well. Appreciate you there. How much faster is the game from college to NFL? And I keep thinking of Rocky III or IV. I'm not quite – wow, it was Rocky III with the Ivan Drago hitting.
That's four.
And it was like 1,200 pounds per punch. What's it like being hit like that, Rock?
Yeah.
I'll take my question off the air. Bye.
Thank you, bud. I mean, just if you ask any player – the number one difference between the NFL and college, it's the speed. In college, you know, the skill position players are fast, but the offensive linemen are big, but they can't really move. In the NFL, the offensive linemen are 330 and can move.
Right.
Okay, that's the difference. And then it's just everything's just amped up a little bit. And yeah, he had a good offensive line at LSU, but in the NFL, you're facing college all-star teams essentially every single week.
Right.
It's the best of the best for us for a reason.
Gary in Green Hills, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call, guys. Later on in the evening, I was just, you know, surfing the YouTube and that, and they had a really famous orthopedic surgeon. I can't think of his name, but he actually had the film of how it happened, and buddy, it was brutal.
They had the film of Burrow's injury?
Yeah, he dissected what happened. Burrow's left leg was fully extended, like in a locked position.
Yep.
And the way he got hit from the top, and then another guy got him lower, below the knee. And just imagine you got your leg stretched out as far as you could. It came up towards his waist in about 30 degrees, and the doctor had one of those models they have in their office and show what a, you know, structure of the knee looks like.
Yeah.
And he said it was basically, he could measure it by the impact, and he said it was at least 30 degrees bent. And when that usually happens, the ACL is definitely tore. Plus, I can't think of the other tendon on the outside is usually ruptured too.
Yeah, the outside is is the LCL, and the inside of your leg is the MCL. Supposedly, it's the ACL and the MCL of Burrow that's hurt. Yeah, the defensive lineman pushed Michael Jordan back, and he's kind of rolling almost on his, you know, tore on his back and falls into Burrow, and then Burrow gets hit up high by Montez Sweat, the Redskins defensive end from the other side.
But there was nothing cheap about it, right?
Because,
I said, I didn't see it, I can't speak to it.
There was nothing cheap about it. It was an unfortunate accident.
Let's talk to Todd. Todd, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for holding.
Thank you, Eddie and Rocky. I've just got a question. I don't think he's ever going to be the same, and I'm 53 years old. I've been rooting for the Bengals since word. This right here is just something it's bad, and I will never, I don't think I'll ever listen to another Bengals game. Rocky, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
As far as these kids coming out of college, does he have an insurance policy, and how much is his initial first, you know, his first 4 or 5 year contract? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got a great show.
Thanks, appreciate it. I'll look up what the was his rookie contract is, but does he have an insurance policy? Yes. Every NFL player, for the most part, especially of that caliber, has some sort of injury. But I don't think that's going to be the question. He's still a rookie. I fully anticipate he's going to recover and recover very well from this.
Robin Springdale, thanks for holding.
You know, everybody was expecting this, and unfortunately it came true. But, you know, if I was a guy like Joe Burrow's come in, I would say, listen, I'm signing, but you got to assure me you're going to pick a top 10 offensive lineman or a better coach than you got now, because, you know, or I want a short-term contract. And the Bengals, unfortunately, are going to be in the top 10 this time for a draft pick.
Yes.
Maybe number two. So they if they buy get anybody other than an offensive lineman, they better put the roll down gates at Paul Brown.
I think you're
Thanks,
right.
Buddy.
I think if that pick, I feel pretty confident in saying right now, however many months before the draft, if they pick a cornerback or something with the first or another wide receiver,
so they will certainly be in the top seven easily.
Easily, in
maybe
the top
seven. Five.
Yeah, I mean, there's
maybe
a good chance they're
so overall.
There's a good chance they lose out from here on out. You know, you
right.
go, you know, two wins,
so
13-1.
So they're top five easy.
Right.
Is there an offensive lineman
yes.
worth that
there's
weight?
The top guy is this kid from Oregon. He opted out of the season. Penei, or I believe I can't pronounce his last name, but he's regarded as the number one. But, yes, there's some offensive linemen out there. I watch them every week. There's some good players. They will be able to address that position. Yes.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to Sherry Coolidge from the Enquirer about your good friend and ours, P.G. Sittenfeld. We'll get back to this Burrow topic a little later on, but now it's our news. News Radio 700 WLW.
Traffic and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Hospitals in Ohio keep filling up with corona.
Hear P.G. Sittenfeld's name one time.
Now you're going to get double the
Absolutely.
Dosage of that, my friend. So, and we have joining us Sherry Coolidge from the Enquirer, who's been all over this. Sherry, how are you?
I'm good, and I do have to tell you, you know whose name I heard every hour of every day this weekend?
Burrow.
P.G. Sittenfeld.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you did for sure.
Over the weekend, I'm sure you did.
I am the City Hall reporter for the Enquirer.
So, Sherry, you've been there since, you know, obviously, you cover this stuff and ground zero. How long ago were you getting rumblings about this?
You know, I don't really want to say, you know, too much. I had
right,
heard
sure.
some things were coming, but I have to say I didn't know for sure the extent of what we were going to hear at that press conference last Thursday.
Interesting. Now, what is the reason, because Sittenfeld and his attorney, I think we're supposed to talk at, 11:30 today, and then that was canceled. Do you know the reason why?
You know, it was never my understanding that PG was going to be there.
Okay.
I had thought that his attorney, Charlie Ridgers, was going to have a press conference to kind of walk reporters through whether this, why they're saying he's innocent and this is not bribery. Those nuances in the charges between, you know, what's being alleged with his co-counsel members directly related to development deals and, you know, his own dealings with his leadership pack. And so I didn't expect him to be there. And when I asked about it last night, I was told, you know, the COVID concerns are very great right now. So there wasn't going to be a
rest. Get on a Zoom. I mean, everybody's doing Zoom 25 times a day these days, Sherry. Like, why can't he do that?
And my friend Antoinette did point that out on Twitter today. But, you know, they did put out PG put out a video statement of himself. So we'll take that instead, I guess.
How long do you think this is going to take to actually say, whatever, go to trial?
You know, that is an actually very good question. Because if you look at the COVID numbers from today, we're starting to see more businesses say it's going to be stay at home again and things like that. And the last time the cases were high, which wasn't as high as they were now, the courts were shut down. And I think that that could introduce some delays here. PG is, you know, really asserting his innocence. And it seems like they are going to want a speedy trial. I don't know that for sure. But I'm not sure how possible that's going to be.
And yeah, and that will be very interesting to see how much things get pushed back. But, I mean, he is very defiant, saying that he is innocent of all this. Of course, you and I and everyone know the FBI just doesn't willy-nilly bring up charges. Usually they have video, audio, witnesses, everything. It's all locked up. So do you have any – I mean, can you summarize the case that PG is making for his innocence?
You know, he says this is not quid pro quo, and he kind of points to that idea in the actual indictment quotes where he's, you know, recorded talking about these kind of things, and he says it's not quid pro quo. And he himself says, I would never do that. And in his statement today, he really talked about taking actions that were only for the best of the citizens, no matter what the political donation might be. And so that's kind of where he's at on this.
Okay, but, you know, they do have tape on him actually talking about this stuff, but it is very nebulous. I will say that once you read the transcripts, and I mean, I obviously haven't heard the tapes, but read the transcripts, and he really dances right. It seems to me he steps over the edge, but I don't know in legal terms if he's just dancing around right on the edge of it.
Right, well, because he essentially says, well, you can't just give me that full amount. It's got to be, you know, a piece of it goes over here and a piece of it goes over there. So that's a pretty big part of the case right there.
So I think that's really what's going to have to be sorted out here. I'm definitely going to be talking to some experts in the coming day and, like, looking at, you know, what they think about what exactly needs to, you know, be in those bribery charges. But I do have to say, I don't think that we would see the U.S. attorney, you know, Dave DeVillers, bring this willy-nilly. But he understands the gravity of accusing a person who, you know, could be the city's next mayor and is a sitting council person of the serious nature of these charges. He knew that, and they started under the previous U.S. attorney, Ben Glassman, who was appointed by President Obama.
Yeah. Sherry Coolidge is our guest from The Enquirer. And Sherry, in your opinion, is he going to resign from council?
I cannot offer my opinion, but I'm going to use the word no here. he himself has said that. Like, he is right out of the gate on Friday. He put out a statement. He's going to stay on council, and he's going to run for mayor. And I think he doubled down on that today. We can expect to see that. You know what the hard thing is, I have to say, for everybody who's really watching this closely? City Hall's closed until December 14th, so we don't really know what's going to happen until when we're really going to have that next council meeting, and it's not any day soon, and that's also the mayor has that under the coronavirus, you know, regulations.
I have to imagine at the next meeting, let's say he is still on the board there, and during the course of the council business, it comes up for a vote. Hey, should such and such business get this amount of money for this grant? You know, and then obviously the question from someone like yourself is going to be, so, PG, when you voted this way or that way on that particular vote, were you swayed in any way?
Were you in their hip pocket, in other words?
Right.
You know, it's really not just me. I think that we can expect to hear, you know, the mayor has been very outspoken about, you know, that how he called this worse than what Tamaya Denard and Jeff Pastor were accused of doing. He called it, you know, he put the power base, you know, kind of credited it to, like, trying to garner power. Mayor, I mean, I haven't heard him like that in a long time. You know, PG does not have a friend in Vice Mayor Christopher Smitherman. Expect to hear from him. Someone else is running for mayor, David Mann. Can't imagine he's not going to have something to say. So even starting at that point, then we could go down to the idea of what developer is going to want their deal to come up to council right this second and be like, hey, I want some extra scrutiny on this deal. I just wonder really what's going to happen to this deal right now.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this, too, as a part of this. Look, it takes two to tango, so if these council folks were involved in doing some corrupt things, and bribery on the other side were potentially, right, some developers that had been in on this sort of scam. Anything you're hearing from them, any charges going to be brought up against them?
You know, I don't see this in the pattern of things. It's really these direct city officials that the federal authorities are going after. And so far, they've not given us any reason to believe that, you know, they have any evidence of that. They are calling, you know, Tom Gableman, you know, the hero of the Tamaya Dinar case. He came to them. He's confidential human source one. We know his name, Chinenim Ndukwe. They're saying he came to them. And honestly, this is like one of the most stunning parts of everything to me, because his deal at 435 Elm involves Jeff Pastor and P.G. Sittenfeld. And what they said about Chinenim Ndukwe, that he came to them and he said, I'm tired of being shaken down.
Right.
So it just really makes you think, well, what else?
Right. Yeah, he's sitting there saying, I used to be getting all these deals, and now all of a sudden I'm not, and these other folks are. Well, there's something shady here. Good for him.
So is Chris Smitherman going to be our next mayor?
You know, I'm not ruling him out. He himself now has been very, you know, a little bit cagey about, well, might you run?
Right.
So we're going to be looking for all of these candidates, not just Christopher Smitherman. The deadline to run for mayor next year is February 18th due to rules related to the primary.
Okay.
So we're going to see, really, I think, even before Christmas, people jumping into this race, because you just can't be like on February 18th, hey, I'm going to run in a month or two here for mayor. That's just not how it's going to go. I think these people are seriously considering this. There's a lot of calls going on to kind of like gauge people's chances. And I think we're going to see a big field of mayoral candidates.
Sharon Coolidge, appreciate you talking to us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sharon.
Take care. Sherry Coolidge from The Enquirer. So I think very good questions there.
Whoever the next candidate or candidates that apply for this mayor job.
Right.
Squeaky clean, I think, is what the people are going to want.
I would be, or I wouldn't bother. They're going to,
let's hope,
they're going to put you under an ultra microscope.
I hope that's what people want down there. I mean, if you're living in the city and you're seeing all this happen all the time, year after year, in the last year, you have to say, look, party aside, man, who's a good leader? Who's going to be a good person and care about the job of doing the people's business in the city, not trying to climb the ladder and take this for so you can get the stepping stone to the next deal?
That's what it's been. Let's face it. We got traffic now. Rob, what is going on?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, home to the nationally recognized Pancreatic Cancer Center, our great care plans are backed by scientific research and physician expertise. Call 513-584-8900 to schedule an appointment. There is an accident on Observatory west of Shaw and Linwood, accident with injuries on Wayman Branch Road at Pride Parkway in Taylor Mill, and on Pippin north of Compton. Your slow spots this afternoon include North 75 approaching Dixie Highway Florence up to Donaldson, then in the single lane traffic between Kyle's Lane and 5th Street in Covington, West 275 slow from Turkey Foot to 75, eastbound approaching Madison Pike over to 471. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
Yeah, I do too. The forecast from a 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Clouds in 34 for tomorrow. A slight chance of morning rain and the high of 50. It is 48 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
There's so much Bengals info, stats, interviews, and analysis, your little Houday head just may burst. Which would be unfortunate because you'd miss the
their new location out there in Lebanon. And Ray, it's deer season, gun season for deer opens in Ohio, I believe, next Monday. What's expected? Is this going to be a higher amount of people participating in deer season this year? Less? Same as before? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, if I can gauge it by the number of people we're having coming in buying new rifles and things like that and gearing up for deer season, I think it's going to be a record year. I think a lot of people have taken back up those old traditional hobbies of hunting and fishing like that. So I think deer season is going to be quite popular this year.
What have we seen in bow season?
Bow season, I mean, we've had a lot of people taking some pretty big deer. We're if you get on our website, we've got a lot of people sending pictures of their deer in that they're killing with bow. And the harvest looks really, really good. And there's a lot of big bucks being taken.
Now, explain to folks that don't know, because there's only a short amount of time in Ohio you can kill a deer with a gun versus Kentucky. You have much more time. So break it down real quick of, you know, the amount of time you can hunt a deer with a, you know, slug or straight wall cartridge gun round in Ohio.
Yeah, you know, we just finished up our youth weekend, I call it. You know, there's a weekend last weekend where they take the children out and hunt with the parent. That was a 2-day hunt, and that just passed. Coming up December 30th November 30th till December 6th is the traditional gun season, which is a very limited period of time. You know, you're looking at 7 days there that you can hunt. And then you've got another 2-day stint there in December 19th and 20th. So, you know, gun season is very, very limited here in Ohio. You know, and one of the things that they did was to make it a little easier to harvest a deer was added the straight wall cartridge guns a few years back, and we're seeing a big popularity in those this year as well as the past couple.
Ryan, for folks that don't know, a traditional rifle cartridge is neck, whereas, I mean, when it comes in the bullet, it kind of comes up to a neck. That creates higher pressures, you know, higher velocities, things like that. Straight wall cartridges, like a .45-70, for instance, is, you know, a little less power, but you can still take many a deer down with a .45-70. There's no question.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's some really great cartridges. You can hunt with anything that's .357 or above.
Yep.
You can actually use a .350 Legend. I checked with ODNR and had to just verify that. So the .350 Legend, which is a very, very popular cartridge, packs a little bigger wallop than a shotgun slug, a little more accurate out, you know, a couple hundred yards. Just great, you know, great way to enhance the deer hunting experience for a lot of people. You know, one of the other things that people don't realize is, you know, that .350 Legend and .450 Bushmaster come in AR style rifles,
mm-hmm.
which, as long as you only load 3 rounds into the rifle you're hunting with, ODNR says they're legal to hunt deer with. So, you know, that modern sporting rifle, as we like to call it, has dual purposes. So it's a home defense gun.
Big.
It's a great hunting gun.
Absolutely.
Ray, with that, we'll let you go. People want to find out more about you and what you all do. Where can they go?
VanceOutdoors.com. And, you know, just surf our website. You know, and our phone numbers of all the locations are on there. They can call in and ask us anything they want to.
Thanks, buddy.
All righty. Take care.
Thank you, Ray.
So coming up next, apparently, you know, the homeschooling has got a lot. Yeah, Ed, is your wife still doing the homeschooling?
No, luckily, God willing, our Southwest local has been 100% in school learning.
So and they haven't
changed.
Had to come home at all?
They've
okay.
not yet. You know,
that's
after
what I was
Thanksgiving,
wondering.
Okay. Who knows? Hopefully they'll stay open. But there's many downsides of that. I obviously, there's what do single parent families do? What, you know, there's no daycare, can't go to school. You know, now you got a 9-year-old trying to learn online with no supervision. There's that. But also, apparently, Ed, our kids are getting fatter because they're sitting at home and they're just on their computer
right.
all the time.
No recess.
No
at
recess.
Least, at least at school, they get out there and get run around for however long recess is
15
now.
15 minutes
I don't know.
Or something. Right.
We shall talk to an expert about it next. But now it's our news. News Radio 700 WLW.
Traffic and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
It is putting more of a strain on the system.
Said he doesn't want to go to second semester of UC because he's just not learning anything.
Not learning anything.
So he's going to sit out second semester and see what happens. Maybe try again in September.
Well, good for him for saying, look, rather than just spend the money on something I know I'm going to just
exactly.
waste. Because some kids, I'm sure, will look at it and say, wow, this is fantastic. I don't have to do anything.
Right.
But
because I made it clear to them, I'm like,
foot.
Look, dude, if you're going to go down there and get D's and F's, I ain't paying you to go down. I ain't paying for you to sit down there with your buddies and drink beers. And so he was smart enough to say, nope, sitting this one out.
Correct. And there, look, so many tragedies of this online learning thing that's going on for, God, this is going on 3 or 4 months, or more.
Oh, easily.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess
because it ended last year ended that way.
That's true, exactly. Yeah, so we're here we are. But the other part, Ed, is the...
Something you never think of. I never thought about this.
Right, and that's kids aren't getting exercise, and they're becoming heavier. Their weight gain is a lot more. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, I think, 60 minutes a day of activity for kids, and that is allegedly not happening at all.
So let's talk to a registered dietitian about it. Amy Goodson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I know, it's kind of tragic. We've got kids sitting at home all day, probably eating more food than necessary, not moving, and so it adds up.
Well, that's the thing. If you're in a classroom, chances are you're not sitting there with a bowl of Fruit Loops next to you. And, you know, mom, just to keep your focus, is going to give you a little bowl of something to sit there next to
keep
computer.
Keep your butt in that chair.
And, right, keep your butt in that chair.
You are exactly right. And we know that, I mean, whether you're a kid or an adult, we do better with structure. And so when kids or adults, whether you're working from home, learning from home, whatever that is, you know, when you can easily access a kitchen, to your point, when you're bored or you're kind of sick of doing, you know, your homework or you're studying, it's way easier just to traipse on into the kitchen, grab something, grab a box of something, a bag of something, and then sit there and snack on it all afternoon or whatnot.
So is it that more the reason, or is it that at home, you know, the kids aren't getting the recess and the gym class and that sort of thing that they might normally get?
It's most likely a combination, because as you said, like if you have recess, you have PE, kids are being more active over the course of the day. But if you think about it, so a normal child hopefully would eat breakfast before they go to school. There's going to be lunch. They might have a snack when they get home from school. So it's definitely more scheduled, I think, basically from an eating standpoint, but then also from a not moving standpoint. So just same as adults, it's really a combination of those two things. We want people moving more and also watching their eating. And that's one of the things I've encouraged families throughout this time, is try to have somewhat of a schedule, like let's eat breakfast, let's have lunch, let's have a snack. Because when you do that, you're less likely to end up in the kitchen just grazing, looking for junk food, which is often what people are looking for when they're snacking.
Well, especially a kid. Let's face it, a kid ain't going to pick up a celery stalk when there's a Heath bar right over there.
And a lot of that for parents is, what do you have at your house, right? So, you know, what's available is often what kids are going to grab. So if you have string cheese and carrot sticks and whole grain crackers and nuts and grapes, they're probably going to look for that. If you have chips and cookies and those types of things, they're probably going to look for that. So some of it from a parent standpoint is being a little wiser about what you're actually stocking in your pantry as well as in your refrigerator.
So what do you recommend here, Amy? Because look, I don't see folks totally redesigning what they're buying at the grocery store and stuff. So how do you keep the kids from getting the snacks and, you know, and all that sort of thing?
Well, one of the things that I try to help parents understand is, don't deprive them, because they will find it somewhere, whether it's at the neighbor's house or wherever that is. So maybe it's having a small little treat a day, or says, hey, we're on the weekend, we're going to have family pizza night, or we're going to have chips or whatever that is. So it is about incorporating some of those quote unquote fun foods. But a lot of it is, if you will give kids a protein and a high fiber carbohydrate, be that a fruit or a grain at meals, they're going to feel more satisfied. And when they feel more satisfied, they're less likely to go looking for those treats and whatnot. So a lot of that is the balance of, like I said, whether it's fruit or baby carrots or nuts and any other things that you can have, like string cheese and yogurts, or make yogurt parfaits, things like that for kids, and then say, hey, we're going to have our cookie, you know, after dinner one time, or we're going to have our ice cream on the weekend. So letting them know it's coming without being someone who's providing it every single day of the week.
And how about just like turning them loose in the yard for 15 minutes and get, unless it's, you know, 0 degrees and snowing,
right,
get your butt out there and run around the yard for 15 minutes just to take a little of the edge off.
Exactly. And, you know, when kids are bored doing schoolwork, that's a great opportunity to say, hey, to your point, let's have a 15-minute break mid-morning, a 15-minute break after lunch, a 15-minute break in the afternoon, to accumulate that 60 minutes. And that could be walking the dog, could be running in the backyard, could be jumping on your bike. So there's a lot of opportunities. It doesn't have to be designed exercise. Really, you're wanting people to move. And even if you're parents with kids, you know, get the whole family outside. A lot of adults are sitting very still right now as well. So maybe that's walking the block, you know, walking the dog, getting on a bike, something to be active and then building that into your day so that it's consistently and letting that be maybe the break. Instead of going to eat a snack, we're going to go outside and go play for a little while.
All right. With that, Amy Goodson, we'll let you go. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Amy.
So, yeah.
See, that's the thing with me. Is
run them a little bit.
Yeah, and then push that rock around the yard a few times.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
Come
for
on,
you.
Man.
That's the thing with me is I always tell my wife, like, if you don't buy this crappy stuff, I'm not going to, like, request it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, but if it's there, there's sour cream and cheddar Ruffles chips.
Oh, hell yeah.
Have
I can
cocaine
those.
In them, okay? I am
I can
convinced.
Damage those
yes.
bad boys.
And we got the humongous bag that, like, my whole infant could fit inside. And I'm gonna get them. All right, I'm gonna go to them. But if they're not there, less likely to. I'm not gonna get in the car myself and drive there just for that.
Potato chips, jalapeno Fritos. Have you tried those?
I have not.
Death.
Tell me.
And crunchy Cheetos. That's it. I can live forever on those things.
Crunchy Cheetos? Aren't Cheetos by default already crunchy? These are extra crunchy?
These are crunchy, crunchy. They're kind of like rocks. They're like shriveled up Cheetos, but they're really good.
What are my go-to? The sour cream and cheddar Ruffles are just too much. Cheez-Its, still on a big Cheez-It kick.
Yep.
You know what I got to get back on was the, what the hell are those things called? Oh, God. The pretzels with the cheese in them, what are they called?
Oh, combos.
Combos, yeah.
Yeah.
Buffalo Ranch combos.
Yeah.
Death. It's the best.
Let's, Rob, your go-to snack.
Have you tried the Grippo's cheese curls?
No, I have not. Grippo's barbecue. Word. Come on, man.
That's
you can't defeat that.
Grippo's chips are amazing, but they put the same stuff on cheese curls, and they are phenomenal.
Interesting. Right.
Have you ever tried the Grippo's barbecue sauce? They have a barbecue sauce now.
Yeah, and they also sell that powdered seasoning, too. That stuff's amazing.
Oh, I have seen that.
But
that can't get enough of
Grippo's. Chicken or something? Yeah.
You put that on whatever, man.
Yeah.
Name it.
Everything tastes like a Grippo's chip. What more could you ask for?
Get new meaning for the word what's for dinner, Grippo's.
Get your sodium content way up.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, home to the nationally recognized Pancreatic Cancer Center, our care plans are backed by scientific research and physician expertise. Call 513-584-8900 to schedule your next appointment. There is a slowdown on southbound 71 now between Taft and 471. Traffic is doing its best to stay nice and single file, although there are the drivers who want to get around everybody and then get over at the last minute. Northbound 75, you're heavy approaching Dixie Highway, Florence, on up to Donaldson, then still a slowdown between Kyle's Lane and 5th Street in Covington. You're stop and go now between eastbound 275 or on eastbound 275 between Turkey Foot and 471. Accidents on Observatory at Grace and Observatory at Shaw and Linwood. An injury accident on Wayman Branch Road at Pride Parkway in Taylor Mill. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight, clouds in 34 for tomorrow, a slight chance of morning rain, clouds otherwise, and the high of 50. It is 48 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
You've got the gobbler. We've got the games. It's a Thanksgiving football triple header.
Hey, let's go bring it out.
First, the Texans and Lions go at it in a Motor City matchup.
My families, of mine and Deb's, who participated in the vaccine tests here in town.
That's
curious
big,
to
yeah.
see how all that went down and what was all involved.
Yeah, I want to know what was asked of the person, right. What the risk levels were. Yeah, that's
exactly
that's key. But a lot of good news coming out in terms of the vaccine, which
absolutely.
Is very, very good. So how about this? I know you're not a big runner, right? And you often have
even when I was young, I never liked to run.
Right. But you always kind of have some excuse, right? Like, oh, I can't because of this.
Absolutely.
Well, this woman... actually her and her husband are both like very, very, you know, fit, right? He was a gymnast in college. She was a runner. Well, and her name is, McKenna Myler, and the husband, Mike, said that, you know, I'm looking over there and you're 9 months pregnant. I bet you can't run a sub-8 minute mile. And she says, yeah, I can. 9 months. And she says, you're on $100. He says, deal. So she proceeds. just 7 days before her baby is due, goes out there and runs a mile in 5:25.
Wow.
I mean, I've seen the picture of her running with this, you know, pregnant belly, and it looks absurd, but she killed it. 5:25 mile.
Now, don't you think that guy was just trying to get that baby born?
Yes.
That sounds like something I do. I bet you can't go out there and jump up and down for 15 minutes.
I'll pay you $100. Go jump up and down 2,500 times. Exactly. That's well, that's getting her done, Haas. 5:25.
Hell yeah, it is.
I mean, I bet you, I'd love to know the percentage of people that could run in normal conditions.
I would say 80% of the American public couldn't run easily. Couldn't run that.
Easily, if not more.
Right.
Yeah. So, good for her. That's good.
So, Rock, in other news, kind of related to that, but on the opposite end of it, eating fast food. Now, you've been out west. Have you ever eaten an In-N-Out burger?
I have.
And are they all that?
They are very good, but I know what you're going to ask me next. Are they worth the 14-hour wait, correct?
They just came into Colorado. Colorado residents have waited up to 14 hours to get some In-N-Out burgers.
That's crazy. And there was a video on the internet of someone, like, basically in the lane next to the row that was waiting and just flying down the road, videoing all the cars that are in line waiting for this In-N-Out burger. Now, I got to say, it's good, but it is not anywhere imaginably that good where I would wait an hour, let alone 14 hours.
Right. Well, that's the thing the people in Colorado were saying, and this is probably close to true. You could drive to California and get an In-N-Out burger and
faster.
Come back in 14 hours.
Correct.
But people were fighting in line and all kinds of stuff. But camping out days ahead of time ought to get a freaking fast food burger.
Yeah, forget it. Now, I thought of this topic, too. We should turn this into a what's the most overrated thing out there, in your opinion? Because I think this, again, In-N-Out's good, but it's not that good.
Well,
anywhere close.
A few years ago, you remember when we took the boys out to Tahoe? Mm-hmm. For a vacation, I believe it was last year, as a matter of fact, and they were skiing in June. It was weird, snow skiing. And so we spent a night in Reno, because that's where you fly into and fly in and out of there. And I was like, well, why don't we just go spend a night? Because you can get one of those casino hotels for like $30 a night or something. So got us a couple of rooms there. Well, Deb and I were like, we'll take you to one of the nice restaurants down here in the casino. They're like, no, they looked it up, and there was an In-N-Out burger not too far from there. So they we're like, we're going to go get steaks. They're like, we're good. We're going to take an Uber over to the In-N-Out burger. I'm like, well, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
You just saved me a bunch of money.
Fine. Go get them there, Hoss.
Let's talk to Bob in Lebanon. Bob, what do you have?
I'll tell you, a few years ago, I had a buddy of mine. He talked up this In-N-Out burger because I had never been anywhere really outside of Ohio, and built it up tremendously for me. And so I took the family out to Vegas, and I get ready, and, I mean, he built this thing up. I bit into it, and, maybe he built it up too much. I don't know. It's okay. I didn't think it was not 14 hours.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I wouldn't wait in line for 14 hours for anything.
Right. Yeah. My favorite meal in the whole world. I wouldn't wait that long. There's no way.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
Thanks, buddy.
Last time I had In-N-Out was a couple years ago. Me and my buddy John Walters went hiking out in Arizona. And before we went, set out on the trail, for like 3 nights here, we stopped at In-N-Out Burger and just had the just most disgusting, just
right.
Just,
the animal trend.
I might have had three of them. I have no idea.
Because they have all this.
I'm going to work it off here.
They have like secret stuff and all that, right?
Secret sauce. Yeah. You know what's in that?
Mm-mm.
It's a secret.
Oh, God. So Rock, in Russia, you know how the Russians, they like to drink.
Yeah.
They like to drink
vodka.
The vodka mostly, yeah. 7 people have died after drinking hand sanitizer after they ran out of booze at a party.
God, that hard up?
2 of the people remain in a coma after drinking the chemical substance. A total of 9 people drank the antiseptic wash. The first 3 victims who died were 41 and 2 27-year-olds. After the first 3 died, 6 were flown by evac to the hospital, to a remote hospital to be treated for this.
Yeah, because a lot of the, what was that bourbon distillery that right when the pandemic was going down, right, they changed some of their, they used the bourbon
right,
to
exactly,
make it. So
right, exactly.
I guess people are saying, well, the ingredients are in there.
It's here, where was it? I just saw it. It's like 70% methanol, and I guess these people thought, well, hey, it's alcohol. So, you know, I was at a party, this was about a year ago, I want to say, before the whole vid thing. And they ran out of booze. And so somebody got the bright idea of drinking hand sanitizer or White Claw. And I was like,
a joke coming.
I'll take the sanitizer. I said,
damn you.
I don't want anybody to see me drinking a damn White Claw.
So basically what you're saying is if they see me drinking hand sanitizer, they'll think I'm crazy.
Right.
But if they see me drinking White Claw, they'll think I'm a big wuss bag.
They're right. They're going to take
and
away my man card.
You'd rather be crazy than a wuss bag. I hate
absolutely.
You fingers.
I saw that story last night, and I was laughing to myself all day long. Oh, boy. We got a woman who volunteered to take the vaccine to do the testing, but now it's the news. News Radio, 700 WLW.
So you want to jump. News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
And Pfizer both come out and said the 94 to 95% yep. Success rate, which I have questions on.
AstraZeneca today is, they got one coming
they
out.
They got one too,
but
yeah.
They're talking 90%.
Oh, well, come on.
I know, right?
You got to at least come out with 96%.
I would.
In
I would.
Order for me to... care.
I'd have lied about it.
Exactly.
Even argue with you.
Yeah, I know I was going to check it up anyway. So, yeah, but this is all good news. But obviously, to get to this point, we had to have some folks be a part of a trial and have this thing tested out. And apparently, we have a guest with us who was one of those folks.
And, yeah, if you hadn't heard a lot about it, a lot of this testing, Cincinnati was ground zero.
Right.
And here to talk to us is a participant in these studies, a friend of the Fingers family, an old protege of my wife's from her Channel 9 days, Robin Holiday. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eddie. It's good to be with you.
So Robin, let's start from the beginning. What made you decide to volunteer to do this?
So as the COVID virus became so active early on, I signed up in June. They were talking about vaccines and the testing procedures and what they would need to do. And they talked about the groups that they would test, and they would test this group first and then older people second and third. And I'm a relatively healthy person who doesn't, I'm no longer work, so I'm not taking time away from anything else. So I thought it would be something that I could do that would help. And it's been an amazing experience.
So take us, Robin, through the process of what happened. Day one, you volunteer for this. They say, yeah, Robin, you're on board. Take us through the steps.
So in June, I went online and filled out a questionnaire at Sterling Labs. That's the one I'm doing the Pfizer vaccine study through, Sterling Labs. Filled out the questionnaire. Within 2 weeks, they called and questioned me, asked me questions about different things on it, my health and everything. And then they said, we will be getting back to you, probably not until later in August, at which point I actually called them because I had been out of town, and I called and said, can you tell me what's going on? And they said, we want you. Come in. And so I went to the lab the beginning of September for the first injection. And then 4 weeks later, I went back for the second injection. And then 4 weeks following that, you go back for blood work. And each week, you fill out a diary telling them about your health. And it's been, like I said, they've been very thorough, very, very protocol. It's been so interesting to me because they talk to you about what's going on and what they intend to do.
So have you felt any remote effects of this whatsoever?
No, I didn't, which makes me think I might be in the placebo group. 50% of the people actually get the vaccine and 50% get the placebo. And even the people you're working with at the lab, the only person that knows what you got is the person that actually injects you. So it's a blind study that they will open up once their goal is to open it up once the it gets approval. But generally, in a lot of the studies, it doesn't get opened up until it's completely done. This study runs for 2 years. For 2 years, they're going to track me.
Wow. And how many folks were involved in this, Robin?
I don't know in Cincinnati. I have four other friends that also did it, two other couples that both participated. And two of them thought they had side effects like a flu shot, and two of them didn't. So we're trying to hedge our bets and figure out who got what. Now, obviously, so not scientific.
Right. Now, will you eventually find out whether you had the trial vaccine or the placebo?
Yes. So what they do is once, and this, again, this study is not typical of all the others. They've got different, slightly different protocols for it because they're moving so quickly. But with this study, their goal is once the vaccine is approved, then they'll notify us whether we were placeboed or actually vaccinated. And at that point, they're applying to the FDA to get approval to move all the people that got placebos into the study as vaccinated. So I could possibly go in as early as December if I'm in the placebo group and get my vaccinations. And then they will continue to follow me for two more years.
Wow. And how when you say following you, are you just going to be, like you said, keeping a diary and reporting in every so often? How do they do that?
So in the beginning, we went in 4 weeks later, and you did blood work. You could do blood work in the first exam, blood work in the third exam, and then every week you go online and fill out a diary. Okay. You go back in after 6 months, then you go back in after a year, and then I think it's 18 months, and then 2 years.
All right. With that, Robin, we'll let you go. And thanks for going out there and one for the team, kid.
Well, you know what? It's everybody keeps saying, you know, you're so brave. It's a good thing you did. I said, I'm not brave. The people that are really brave are the people that are in phase one or phase two. I'm late to the party, and I'm just there.
No, that's good, though. You did a good deed for humanity. That's good stuff, Robin.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Have a good day, guys.
Talk soon. Robin Holiday, who went out there and...
That's good. Helping your fellow man up. Yeah, there you go.
Now, would you volunteer for something like that?
Yes. I guess I didn't, but if I were asked to for whatever reason, hey, would you? Yeah, I would do it.
See, I didn't even, the fact of the matter is she sought it out and went and how to do it and what the wherefores and all that stuff. And I don't have the wherewithal to do that.
Right.
So frankly, I'm too lazy to do it.
Right. I just get mixed up in life and all that sort of stuff.
Correct.
But if I would have been purposefully, hey, we have selected you and we think that for whatever reason we need you to do this, I feel like I would take on the burden of,
that'd be cool. Yeah, yeah.
Help out our fellow.
Because when they come out with this vaccine, I guarantee I'm going to be the first in line if they offer this thing.
Okay.
When they offer it.
Right.
Let's talk. Oh,
good. I'll wait and see what happens to you.
You're turning into some kind of a critter, and right. You're going to be sitting there like, I ain't taking that. Let's talk to Mike in Mount Airy. Mike, thanks for holding. What do you have, buddy?
Hey, this study that Robin was talking about, it kind of sounds like what I went through for the Agent Orange Air Force study.
Really?
We did it for 20 years, though.
Do tell.
Yes, sir, from 1981 until about 2002. So some of us were 20 years, some were 21 years.
So what happened? Did you go in and get exposed to Agent Orange and have to track yourself?
Yeah. I was air rescue, recon, recovery, refueling, and whatever else they wanted us to do. So we worked with the ranch handlers that sprayed the Agent Orange. We moved the barrels and all that good stuff.
Wow.
And no side effects that you're aware of at this stage of the game, huh, Mike?
Well, at this stage of the game, I'm now approaching 74 years old, and I'm better than I've ever been. So it must have been a kind of serum for youth.
There you go.
Maybe Ponce de Leon did this. Huh?
There you go. Fountain
thanks,
of youth.
Thanks, Mike. Who knew that Agent Orange was the fountain of youth drug?
There you go. And nice, Ponce de Leon reference thrown out on the Eddie and Rocky show.
You don't get that on every show on this.
Yeah, right.
Come on, man.
talking about knuckle-dragging cavemen on Sloney's show. We're talking about the Spanish explorers, Rob.
A little history lesson there.
Yeah, there you go.
The kids listen to us for that very reason, as a matter of fact.
I know, right? Have we found the Fountain of Youth yet?
Apparently
it's Agent Orange.
Agent Orange. Of course, a lot of people would disagree with that, I think.
But. Kids, don't try that at home.
To each his own, eh? From the UC Health Traffic Center, home to the nationally recognized Pancreatic Cancer Center, our care plans are backed by scientific research and physician expertise. Call 513-584-8900 to schedule an appointment. Slow on the southbound sides of 75 and 71 approaching Fort Washington Way and 471 respectively, 75 south. Heavy back beyond Desert Charles and southbound 71 starting to fill up toward William Howard Taft. Your stop and go on southbound 471 all the way down and eastbound 275. A crowd between 75 just past Turkey Foot. And then again, things pick up from the AA on over to 471. And looks like that's not an issue. Eastbound 275, the injury accident at Route 4 on the right shoulder. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight. Clouds in 34 for tomorrow. A slight chance of morning rain, clouds otherwise, and the high of 50. It is 48 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
Working from home, the kids learning at home, the face masks and the social distancing, no movies, no shows, takeout dinners only.
I go down. Now, of course, he wasn't in Washington, but I've seen it on. I bet you he has some different monitors look at in terms of view. I wonder what his thoughts were at that moment.
I can't even. Like I said, I missed it. And apparently, from what I've heard everybody say, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I went DVR just to see what happened, and wasn't. I mean, you couldn't see anything too graphic on there, which is a great thing, and that's obviously why they didn't replay anything either.
So, Rock, this is a really touching story. It really is. I'm not joking about this part. 7-year-old Blake Momfer. Maybe you saw this story out of Columbus. For Halloween, he went viral. The poor little guy's got spina bifida. And he's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he's in a wheelchair. So, for his Halloween costume, he was in a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Is what it was. So they donated $10,000 to Children's Hospital where this young man has been treated, and they gave him a year's supply of Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, man.
How about that?
He's the envy of all the kids. Can't get enough mac and cheese when you're a kid.
They set him up with all this stuff. They're big Buckeyes fans, so they got to talk to Braxton Miller, some of the old players and whatnot and all that stuff. But the year supply of Kraft mac and cheese. Now, if you're a big fan, that would be great. So what I would like to propose right now, and just get this out there, we're not supposed to use this for personal gain, but I'm just getting it out there because I'd already thought about this. I'm going to go dressed as a bottle of Maker's Mark for Halloween next year. And I just thought,
If you're
maybe
gonna,
the people, the makers would like to know that.
If you're going to do that, I'm going to dress as a bottle of Blanton's.
Okay.
I'm going to go upscale on you and see if we can maybe do something about that.
Well, we'll see who gets a response.
In terms of food, what would you love to have a year supply of?
Oh, God. You mean some...
Yeah, or
like, any kind of...
Or like a, a food. For instance, I love the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering if you're going to go with the restaurant.
Yeah, so for like a Big Mac. I mean, both of those. Right? If I could just roll into McDonald's and just get a Big Mac whenever I wanted, that'd be the bomb.
I would, Big Mac sounds. Or no, you know what? I'd go Frisch's. I'd go big. I'd go Big Boy, man. Come on, I can do that all day long.
Jimmy's saying coffee. You just love free coffee for a year. We've got
free coffee right out there.
Now, Jimmy's a fancy coffee guy.
Are you really? Jimmy doesn't look like a fancy coffee guy.
I'm a fancy coffee guy. I don't drink much coffee when I do. I only drink fancy coffee.
You don't drink that that stuff that's a milkshake, do you?
No.
The frappuccino, double dip thing.
Cappuccino with That's what I drink.
I don't mind a cappuccino every once in a while.
You know where I got in the habit of drinking those was on our honeymoon when me and my wife went on a cruise, and so we paid for the all you whatever drinks you want package.
Sure.
So at any second of the day, I could just get a cappuccino and just boom, here you go.
Right.
And by the end of the trip, I was having like six a day. Just
let me ask you, did you ever sleep on that particular trip?
There ain't no sleeping on that trip, Ed.
That's what I'm talking about, Daddy. Hey, Black Chris, what's going on?
What's going on, Fingers? Arch, how we been, gentlemen?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I just caught the tail end of that, and I would love a lifetime supply of Penn Station.
Penn Station is a very underrated sandwich.
I totally agree with that.
The only other cheesesteak I've ever had was in Philly. That was better than that.
Which one did you go to, Pat's or Geno's or somewhere else in Philly?
Actually, I went to Geno's, and I went to another one that was right in some little Five Points area. Man, you know the long bag that Penn Station has?
Yeah.
It was another 6 inches sticking out of that bag.
Damn. There you go. So you're saying that Penn Station is better than those, though, Chris?
Is better than who?
Better than the Philly, the actual Philly cheesesteaks.
Well, that's like seeing a Philadelphia, the cheesesteak my mother makes is better than a New York or a Philly cheesesteak.
So, I get your drift. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
So,
by the way, if you are in Philly, I'm no Pat's or Gina's. Go to, it's Tony Luke's, I think is what it is, isn't it? I think that's what it's called. That's a good one.
I've heard there are ones that are better than Pat's or Geno's.
Yes. Yes, I think that's what it's called. I'll have to look it up. Now I'm blowing it, but I've been there and it's amazing.
So I'll tell you this story of a good friend of mine. He'll go nameless, Finn. And he went to Cape Cod on his honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, needless to say, go up there and eat all the seafood.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, so did you go out and eat a bunch of seafood? He goes, yeah. And, I went to a Red Lobster up there. And I was like, Red Lobster?
Are you kidding? Come on, Finn.
On Cape Cod?
You got to do better than that.
He goes, but listen to this logic. He goes, well, they're good here. I like me some Red Lobster every once in a while. But he goes, I figured if I was going to, that they would have the best Red Lobster in the country up there. So it's like, dude, you could have gone down about a half a block down the road to some little shack, like Papa's Lobster Shack, and it would have been like $10 exactly. cheaper and two times better.
Correct. Correct.
Let's get who we got. George, right quick. What do you have, buddy?
Hey, Eddie Rock. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Buddy.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I won off of Facebook one time. A year's supply of cupcakes.
I kind of really?
Throw it in there on a whim, and sure enough, they contacted me via message that I had won, and they gave me a number to contact them. So before I called, I did a little calculating and figured I could probably, now I'm 6'4", 300 and some pounds, I could probably eat 4 to 6 cupcakes a day. And a year's supply, I figured, would be somewhere around 1,200 cupcakes. Right. And I wasn't going to order them all at once. I was just going to let them know that I'd probably order them, quarterly or so. But, no, that's not how that works. I got a coupon, and I was allowed to go in and get my choice of any 6 full-size cupcakes or 12 miniature cupcakes once a month.
Oh, yeah, not George. Thanks. Yeah, that's. I've heard that's how they work. That they just don't. You tell them how many you want, and they send them to you. Oh hell no! A year's supply.
I bet they've been burned on that.
They get
a few
one
times.
Of the 2-pack of snowballs like once a month, and that's your year supply.
For good too.
Those are good. I haven't had one of those in a while. We got Dave Lapham coming up, and now the news. News Radio 700 WLW.
Traffic and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Hospitals feeling the impact of the COVID-19.
ACL MCL and possibly some other things going on there as well, but they anticipate a 9-month recovery, so that's good. I don't like when I hear an updated report. There's maybe some other things going on, so we shall see.
Let's talk to our friend Dave Lapham about it. See if Dave, do you know more than us? Has there been another update, Dave, that you're aware of?
Not an official update. There's all kinds of speculation, but nothing's been officially released at this point in time. But the ACL and MCL is obviously what's occurred, but they are saying possibly PCL is what I've heard in places. I've heard meniscus possibility, and you know, when you're in that type of situation, if you pop an ACL by just a violent cut, that sort of thing, it's a clean pop. I mean, there's no other collateral damage. But when you get a collision like Joe Burrow had, when his foot is planted and his leg is fully locked, and then he gets hit and it hyperextends and then buckles inside, you're going to have collateral damage. And the MRI that was taken today, I guess, determined how much collateral damage there is. And by the sounds of it, it could be fairly extensive. I mean, it could include meniscus cartilage. It could include the terrible triad, ACL, MCL, PCL. If it's just ACL, MCL, and that's significant. But if that were the case, I mean, Carson Palmer had ACL, MCL, and he dislocated his kneecap. And so there was some other soft tissue damage, and he came back. He had the injury in the playoffs in January, and he came back at the beginning of the following season. And then he went to the Pro Bowl and won MVP. So, I mean, that was less than 6 months, really.
Right.
And so it's everybody, and we know, you know, everybody's body's different. Every surgery is different. Every rehab's different. I will say one thing, knowing Joe Burrow, his work habit, this guy's going to be not a five-star recruit. He's going to be a five-star rehab guy. And the danger with him, you're going to have to rein him in because, right, you know, he's going to overdo it. You know, you're not going to have to light a firecracker under his butt. He's going to be going crazy. You're going to have to rein him in and make sure he doesn't do too much, because that can be an issue as well.
There's no question. And I've learned the hard way in my career, and I know a lot of athletes have, probably you too. Like, the natural tendency is just go so hard at rehab, because, you know, the natural tendency in your mind is, well, the harder I rehab, the faster I'll come back, when sometimes it works the exact opposite. Sometimes, damn it, I look back and I just stayed off my MCL grade 2 sprain for a couple of weeks or something, I might have been okay. But then you rehab too much, and then you put yourself kind of behind the seat you want to be in.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And really, I mean, these doctors that do these surgeries, you know, these multiple ligament surgeries and all the other stuff involved with it, he's going to be – and the other thing that's going to go on right now, it's probably already started, is the political volleyball. Because, you know, the Bengals have their team, Dr. Galloway, you know, and they've got their rehab guy, Nick Cosgrave, and they're both outstanding. But he's with CAA, Creative Athletes and Artists, and they've got their relationship with doctors out in California. They're going to be like, we want our doctors, and we want our rehab people. And so now it's like, man, you get in the tug of war. Who's going to do the surgery? Who's going to be involved in the rehab? Who's going to control the rehab? I mean, it could be, you know, some of that stuff going on too at some point in time. But right now, he hasn't had surgery yet, and the first thing you have to do is get the swelling down, where you can go have surgery, because if you have swelling, that just complicates issues in the surgery.
Any idea yet, Lap, when they might be? And obviously, we're just waiting on to see what the swelling does, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's been no announced date of surgery, and but you know, depending on the how extensive, you know, that swelling is, and that's probably an indicator as to how much collateral damage there was done. If there's a lot of swelling, and you can't have surgery for you know, a few days or weeks or whatever, you know, there was a lot of damage there, so that's an indicator, I guess, too.
And Dave, walk us through the play as you saw it in real time. Now, you're down at Paul Brown Stadium. You're watching the game from a bunch of monitors. So what? Just take us through exactly what you saw and what happened in that instant.
Yeah, I mean, it was a case where there was a bull rush that went on, and Michael Jordan got bull rushed a little bit, and Jonathan Allen, the big, powerful defensive tackle from Alabama, you know, he kind of both bodies crashed into Joe down low, and Sweat, you know, hit him high, so he was high load. And the key is, if his foot isn't planted in the ground, he just falls down, he's tackled. I mean,
on the touchdown pass to A.J. Green, he got hit pretty good in his lower body and got tackled and no problem. He got his helmet ripped off one time. Another time, Chase Young tried to cut him in half, you know, knock him in half at the one-yard line when he fumbled. So, I mean, he took more than one
hit.
That was a
football big
game.
Shot there. Yeah.
Oh, that was a huge shot. And then this time, though, when your foot is planted and your transfer leg is locked up, when you get hit, there's no place for it to go.
Right.
If your cleats aren't in the grass, you can bend your knee and not have any issue. So, I mean, it's just the biomechanics, the physiological part of it. It was a perfect storm where he's totally locked out, throwing the football, releases the ball and gets hit high low, and then his leg just caved. I mean, literally just caved in. It. When I saw number 9 laying on the ground, I thought, "Geez, man!" And I said, "This Carson Palmer, same number." Same type of hit, you know, get hit just low by chemo. There was no high-low to it, but you know, there was a lot of similarities. Threw the ball down the field for the right sideline. I mean, there was all kinds of similarities. Sure. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, man, this is crazy.
In your opinion, Dave, there was nothing dirty about this play, though.
No. I mean, all he was trying to do is just, you know, rush the passer and bull rush.
Right,
And, you know, Carson Palmer, there was no flag, but they did change the rule, the chemo von Alhoffen rule, basically. You couldn't hit the quarterback from the waist down unless you were blocked into him. But this is the case where the guy's blocked into him, and it wasn't late. The hits weren't late. All these major injuries, you know, when you look at them. Alex Smith, the injury that he had, J.J. Watt was just taken to the ground, totally legal, shatters his leg. Joe Theismann, Lawrence Taylor, big, powerful guys, shatters his leg, no flag. Carson Palmer, no flag. Joe Burrow, no flag. That's just the nature of the beast, as we know. And, Brock, you and I know, we both were, you know, part of it. At any play, any time, any player is susceptible to injury. It's just going to happen.
No question. And, Dave, I know it's hard because you don't get the one-on-one personal access to the players, but in your opinion, what's the morale of this team after seeing that?
Well, I know right away, the very next possession, Tennessee went 5 plays and 55 yards and scored a touchdown. And they rushed for 35 yards on 2 carries and had a completion in there of another 12 or 15. 3 plays, they had 45 of the yards, and it was 2 runs, you know. So they were walking zombies. I mean, they were stunned, absolutely stunned, and couldn't believe what they'd just seen. And, at that point, touchdown is scored to take the lead and was never relinquished. And they gave up 13 points, outscored 13-0 when Joe Burrow went down. When he went down, the Bengals were in the lead. And, in the second half, the Bengals had 24 snaps for 25 yards.
Wow.
No points, obviously. 2 first downs. I mean, in the first half, 42 snaps, 247 yards, only 9 points because their first 2 possessions, they just boxed in the red zone big time. But Joe Burrow's this football team had only given up 300 yards passing one time in the entire so far in the season. One time had the Washington Football Club, and that was to the Philadelphia Eagles. Joe Burrow had almost 200 at halftime. You know, he was going for his 6th 300 yard plus passing day, and it all just evaporated. I mean, kid put together a hell of a rookie season, although it was only 10 games. But, I mean, he's legit. He's the real deal. He's a special player.
So are they going to go out and look for another quarterback, guys, some vet that's lingering around out there, or is this Finley's team?
Well, Finley's the starter. They have a quarterback, Allen, that is on the practice squad that they will, you know, activate. And if they need to get another quarterback, they'll start looking. And there's a former quarterback that was on the Bengals roster that's on the New England Patriots practice squad that they could. You can't go from practice squad to practice squad, but you can put them on the active roster. Of course, Joe's already gone on injured reserve, and so they've already made roster moves there. They brought Allen off the practice squad to fill that quarterback position, so they'll have 2. But with COVID, you can't even have the 3rd. It's 6 days. There's a 6-day protocol deal. He can't even participate in this next football game against the New York Football Giants. It's not going to be until the week after if they need him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do you got
crazy
going on?
Year.
What do you got going on in the big show tonight?
Well, we have Doc Hollywood, Dr. Tim Princhek is coming on to talk about ACL surgery, ACL, MCL, all those kind of things, and all the complications that might go on with the surgery.
He's going to be checking in with that. We have Zach Taylor. We have Ryan Finley. We have A.J. Green. We've got Carl Lawson. We've got a bunch of different voices about what went on during the football game and after the football game when Joe Burrow went down.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Lapp.
Our good friend Dave Lapham.
Now, of course, some people out there are saying they should sign Kaepernick, which is dumb. Kaepernick.
That ain't going to happen in this town.
It's not going to happen. And regardless of that, to me, people, I see it clearly. Kaepernick does not want to play football. When are we going to realize that? He's had plenty, so many opportunities in 4 years to prove to some general manager, some owner, some team that, God, football is the only thing that matters to me, and just give me a shot and I'll do it. No, it's not been like that. It's always something that's like, he's been offered many opportunities, and he has not shown a team that football is the number one most important thing in his life, so therefore he's not signed. Come on.
Let's get your thoughts on all this as far as Joe Burrow goes. Time to sound off. 749-7800, the big one, #700 on AT&T. We'll get to your calls after we check in with traffic. Rob, what is going on?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, home to the nationally recognized Pancreatic Cancer Center, our care plans are backed by scientific research and physician expertise. Call 513-584-8900 to schedule an appointment. There's a broken down on eastbound 275 approaching 471. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic is stop and go all the way back to Dixie Highway, so expect a pretty decent delay there. Westbound 275 heavy from Turkey Foot on to South 75. Southbound 71 heavy from Taft to 471. Northbound 75 continues heavy from approaching Dixie Highway Florence up to Donaldson, then slow through the single lane traffic from Kyle's Lane to 5th Street, Covington. Stop and go traffic on the Clay Wade Bailey Bridge. Expect delays in and around the bridge on both sides of the river. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
The forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center for tonight, clouds in 34 for tomorrow, a slight chance of morning rain, clouds otherwise, and the high of 50. It is 48 now. News Radio 700 WLW.
Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister, your favorite Bengals player, and anything else that's orange and black. It's Bengals Live, your three-hour Who Day.
In Loveland first. Donna, welcome to the program. What do you got?
I just was curious as why they didn't call a personal foul of roughing the passer. He was hit by two men, one high, one low, and there was no foul call. I don't understand. Right. How does that happen?
Well Donna, I hear what you're saying, but it didn't happen. The hits happened after the ball was thrown. Something happened during the course of the play that was unfortunately very brutal. It wasn't a dirty shot. It wasn't intentional. If you watch the defensive tackle, he's almost kind of rolling, you know, almost on his back going towards Burrow's leg rather than like purposely trying to dive at the knee.
So in other words, and thanks, Donna, in other words, it was an accident.
There's nothing you can do about it in the heat of battle. Right. I didn't see anything flagrant about that.
Randy and Walton, what about you, buddy? What do you got?
I got a question. So, Rocky, you've played, you know, you've done the whole thing. You've been through the whole gamut. You've played with all these teams. So what would make a player want to come to Cincinnati? Because let's just think about this for a second. You've had David Klingler got killed. You had Akili Smith basically got killed. The only successful quarterback we've really had, and we had a pretty good line, was Carson Palmer. And Dalton. But we had players. Then we go ahead and trade Whitworth. What would make a player want to come here when there's no commitment? So, like, when you went to Kansas City or wherever you went to Kansas City, right, in Indianapolis,
yeah,
they were committed.
Yeah.
And they were committed. What makes you want to come here and play? I mean, it's the same old stuff year after year after year. I mean, it'd be different if there was a little bit of a history.
Right.
The history is no offensive line, no good coach. Nothing against Zach Taylor. Very nice guy, I'm sure. Probably a great family man. But honestly, he's an unproven coach, and he doesn't surround himself with good, talented, and no disrespect to the other coaches. But if you look through it, and when you get offline here, you look. Look at the years experience that they have for their coaches. 2-3 years, offensive line coaches, the only one's got 26 years. There's no There's no proven success in what they're doing, and they do it year after year after year. Yeah. And we buy into it because we listen to the radio and we listen to all this because we want to. It's just very – I don't know what why anybody would want to come here.
Randy,
I don't get it.
Randy, you ask a very good question, and we're going to hang up, and I'm going to address it because it's a very good question. And I think, to me, the question again was – why would Burrow want to come here? Right? Why would he, why wouldn't he not want to go to another team?
Right.
Well, first of all, the Bengals have the number one overall pick. So, you're going to go to the team that drafts you. But I also think there's an element of this. Joe Burrow is an Ohio kid. Okay. So that's part of it. The other part is I think there's an allure of being able to do the impossible.
Sure. Absolutely.
In life.
I agree with that.
If, this is known as a let's just say a tall task to have success in Cincinnati. And I think an ultimate competitor like Joe Burrow looks at this and says, boy, I'm going to be the one where many, many, many others have failed. I can be the one to, despite all the deficiencies, I can lead this team in the right direction. And I think there's a big allure of that. And I think that's one reason why he was very vocal about wanting to come here.
Your call's next, 749-7000, 800, the big one, #700 on AT&T. Sound off while you got a chance. But now it's the news, 700-WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Despite pressure from the president, Michigan makes their vote.
Delhi, Maria, thanks for holding. What do you got?
Hey, Eddie and Rocky, how are you doing? I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just really have to weigh in on this as a mom whose athlete tore an ACL this past year, his senior year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know you feel that. I mean, I know, Eddie, you've got boys, and I know, Rocky, your kid is really young. But you know what? You know what I've been telling? I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I have talked till I'm blue in the face to my son, who refused to tape his knee, who refused to brace up. And when I told him he needed to brace up and tape up, he looked at me like I was, I thought he couldn't handle it, his game. And,
right.
I just really feel like these guys, I mean, I love Joe Burrow. I just want to know how many times his own mom has said, maybe you ought to tape up. Maybe you ought to get a soft break. I mean, as moms, we're not getting hysterical here, but you're flesh and blood. Our boys are made of flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And they can get hurt just like anybody else. They're not robots. They're not bionicles. They're not, these Marvel, like as strong as these Marvel comic strip, characters.
Right, right.
They're flesh and blood.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Maria. I think what I'm probably your son would say and what Joe Burrow would say is, and this is always the balance you got to do is how much protection do you have? And at what point does the protection hinder my play and make me not the player that I want to be? Joe Burrow could run around with six knee braces on. He's not going to be Joe Burrow.
I hear you.
Thanks.
I know what you're saying.
Thanks,
yeah,
Maria.
But from a mom's perspective, I'm sure you're like tape up and everything, right? I get it. I understand.
Hey, Jim, right quick in Cincinnati, what do you have?
Hey, everybody's like looking hopeful for the future. We've been hoping for, 55 years? You think this is the last injury, season-ending injury that Burrow's going to have with the cheap butt clowns that run this organization? He's going to come back, and he's just going to get blown up in the next 10 games after coming back. He should get a frequent flyer card to the local hospitals, man. I'm done.
I'm done with
this organization. Bring on the UC Bearcats.
All right, Jim. And thanks, buddy. And you know what? We didn't even talk about UC. I'm going to ask you tomorrow, because we got to get going now. But what the hell was up with that? Why wasn't the quarterback under center on that last snap of the game? Why don't you tell me, explain that one to me, son, but do it tomorrow, because right now we're talking football.
This is the Zach Taylor Report, brought to you in part by Mercy Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and by Papa John's Pizza on 700 WLW.